Amen. Whenever I sing that song, my mind goes back. You know, we have memories attached with things sometimes, and that song reminds me of a mission trip that I took to Alaska. I think it's maybe the only place I've ever been, really, except for when I've been made to go somewhere. I mean, not with Jane, of course. It's all happy. Those are happy trips, but I'm talking about the Army. You know, they'd ship me around stuff. Where's Jane? Seems like I get in something every week. It's like the... Anyway, my old friend Ron Kaiser, who was a longtime friend of mine and served here in Buncombe County, he and others from the association went up there to this little village in Alaska. And while we were there, we had worship services and kind of small. These are real small little places, so there wasn't too many people there. But I remember they got up the idea they was going to form a quartet. And I can't remember who all four of them were, but three of them were Ron Kaiser. And I think Ron sang tenor. And Randy Melton, who was pastor and music director here in our association. And myself, and I can't remember who the other fellow was. He was not to be mentioned, I guess. And I just sang the melody like I always sing. And we had the best time. Ron died several years back. Maybe 10, I don't know. Randy Melton, you know, is retired now. So just think about, you know, blessings that you have and singing that song, Learning to Lean. There's a good message in that song. We need sometimes, when we can't feel like we can face things, know that we've got a God we can lean on. And so our text today is in Luke chapter 8, verse 16 through 18. These have been rather busy times for the church family. We've had a wedding not too long back. Let's see, when was that, Fran? That was back sometime 8 or 10 days ago, something like that. Something like that. And that was beautiful, beautiful scenery. Justin and Brittany Livingston. Yeah. Got some folks just got back from Ireland. Here's the Fulbright family. They've all been to Ireland. And so they're back. And I've always been interested in Ireland. I got a little Irish apparently somewhere in the family. And you can probably tell it from my brogue. Courtney showed me a picture of a scene in Ireland. And I got to looking at it, and I said, you know, it looks a lot like Leicester. It sure does. So. Welcome back. A couple of weeks ago, a headline caught my attention in the business section. And I'll have to tell you, I almost always just slip right through the business section, you know. But this was some big company that I'd heard of. And it said of them that they were losing market share. And this was such a big company, I won't name them because you might have stock in them. I don't want to start a panic. But it was such a big company that it really caught my attention that, well, this is serious. And the director of the company said that they had just gotten too comfortable. And so the article went on to explain how they once had it all, and now they were losing ground and losing business. And one man who works for the company said, I never felt a sense of urgency. Now you sort of sense that it's time to get a little bit tough. And that was the quote. And I thought about that kind of vigilance, you know, if you're really wanting to, you know, get things going again, then there's something in the Bible about that kind of thing. So Luke chapter 8, 16 through 18, we'll be looking. Because if vigilance is necessary in business, it's certainly necessary in our own personal life. And so today I want to talk about how to keep what God gives you. How to keep what God gives you. Now, when we receive Christ, we come to God with nothing but ourselves, only our sins to confess and ask Him to forgive us and come into our heart and give us new life. Then as time goes along, how is our relationship going with God? You know, relationships need to keep going, don't they, and growing. We can't just take for granted relationships. Married partners, certainly. If we get complacent, there's going to be consequences. And so to keep nurturing each other and loving each other and putting each other first. I'll have something to say about the man this afternoon that we're going to have a memorial service for, about his commitment to marriage. But we can't get complacent and take things for granted. And even the best of folks can fall apart. And so listen to this verse, Luke chapter 8, 16. No man, when he has light, when he lights a candle, covers it with a vessel or a basket, or puts it under his bed, but sets it on a candlestick, that they which enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest or brought to light. Neither anything hid that shall not be known all over. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For what whosoever has, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemed to have. So there is in this some instruction. There's some warning in this. There's just some common sense. Common sense in this. It was nice to hear about the lightning bug, wasn't it? A good word for the lightning bug. And to hear the scriptures in regard to light. It indeed is an important imagery of the Bible. And Jesus uses it many times. I was going to get Billy to come up here and sing with me. Because often we'll sing sometimes on Wednesday night. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, right? You know that song? You need to learn that song. Google it if you don't know it. The Christian is somebody who has a treasured relationship. We don't know all about God, but we've entered into a relationship with God. And wherever we start, some of us are starting as younger folk. Some of us are catching it midstream. Some even late in life. It's a relationship. It's a friendship. It's something we've come to, and it's just important, isn't it? Our friends and our relationships are important to us. And so we have this treasure of relationship through Jesus Christ, and we have benefits that's brought to us because of that. Forgiveness, fellowship in every step of the life. But there are also stories of Christian folks who've let their life go slack and have not taken that relation to God. They have taken that relation to God complacently and carelessly and have allowed our lives to drift away from God. I dare say probably everybody in the room. Matter of fact, I think I would say everybody in the room knows this experience. There's an old term for this. It's called backsliding. Backsliding. Sliding back from that close relationship that we can have with the Lord. It's tough. It's bad for Christians. It's bad for a church. It can happen in a church. We can take things for granted. God help us never to take for granted our place with the Lord. So let's just give heed to the Spirit of Christ who's teaching us right here and urges us to keep healthy and alive and let that light that God has given us that comes into our heart, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us, let that light continue to shine. Let it burn. And there are three things I think we could look at this morning, and I'll try to stay with these three things, but I tend to stray sometimes. Let what God gives you glow. Let what God gives you show. Let what God gives you grow. So somewhere along the line, well, I'll start with the first one. I'll at least get to the first one. Let your faith glow. Consistently, courageously, consciously, courteously, clearly. Let it grow. Let it glow. Jesus is saying, let that light shine. You don't take a light and hide it. A light is to bring out and shine. Ever since we've got these phones now with lights on them, you know, you get in a dark place, you can shine a light. Did I see these young fellows who are trapped in this mine? Did we get a picture of them? Wasn't there a picture of them? And wasn't there light in the room? And I dare say some of them had those lights there with them. God bless them and help them as they, I think, are coming out in the next day or more. I don't know. Let that light shine. The light is given to us for a reason. It's not an on and off light. Jesus is talking about a candle light. Let it continue to burn. We don't know how long we got a candle to burn. It might be a short time, might be a long time. But we've got our candle to burn. Let it keep burning. We find too many reasons sometimes to try to hide it. We're in a certain place, maybe at the workplace. And there's something going on there, and sometimes we just like to cover our light. Just let the darkness sort of have its moment. Or maybe at school. Or with our friends. Or in the family, even. Just kind of dim down, you know. It's hard to get a light to dim down without going out, isn't it? That's what happens when you're used to dimming down your light. That thing just might flicker out on you. And we too easily do that. So I want to ask you, are you shining? Are you letting your light somehow glow? Now, I'm not talking about superficial stuff. You know, I know sometimes we come in and we're forcing smiles here on Sunday morning. I mean, I'm not, but you might be. I don't know how it works. But it's true. Sometimes we put on a face, a happy face, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about superficiality here. I'm talking about what makes you burn, what makes you go, what makes you who you are. And we have all kinds of personalities, and that light comes out in all kinds of ways. One light, all kinds of colors. Well, just like the lightning bug. And so we need to keep that influence for Christ, that power that God wants to flow through us. We've got to keep that thing alive. And so when you neglect things like praying, like talking with God, and I'm not talking about just formal moments of prayer. I'm talking about attitudes of prayer that you might carry with you through the day. Paul says pray continuously. Well, that's going to be hard to just stay on your knees all day. It'd be physically hard, but it would make you practically worthless. Vance Havner said some of us are so heavenly minded, we have no earthly good. So I'm not talking about, you know, some kind of showing out of prayer. You don't have to show out before God. Just think with God. Do you think inside yourself? Do you feel like sometimes you might be the only person in the room thinking inside yourself? When that person drives up next to you in that car and you look over at them, do you think they're just there for your enjoyment? That's a person over there and they're thinking. You might wonder what they're thinking. It's none of your business. But we still wonder. Do you think inside yourself? Well, God's in there with you. He's thinking right along with you. And so there's prayer and just natural times of the day, conversing with Him regularly. And you know, you can tell when somebody's a praying person. They've got a special glow about them. Now, I don't mean you're beaming like a new bride necessarily or assumed mother-to-be. You know, they've got special glows of their own. But I'm saying there's something about your life and the way you are that exhibits what's in your heart. For good or ill, right? Our Bible, knowing God's Word. God's Word is an anchor to our soul. And I'm not talking about just reading the Bible. I'm talking about letting it come into our heart. When we see something in the Scriptures that is trying to teach us something, well, let that message get in there. Not just reading it for reading's sake and saying, I checked that off for the day. But letting it get an anchor in you. Let it kind of get its grip in you. And say, Lord, I'm going to work on this today. I'm going to see what... Memorizing is a good way of doing that. You can kind of keep something in your mind. You can memorize some Scripture. Anyway, the Bible is certainly an important part of keeping what God gives you. Some of us are neglecting. Our church is important. It's good to have people with us, reinforcing, and study together, and sharing together. You know, our life, our Christian life, kind of gives us a filling station. I noticed up here that God's filling station now is either moved somewhere or they've merged, and now there's an access church up here on School Road, Johnson School Road, somewhere up there. I always kind of liked that name, God's Filling Station. I should have spoke about it while they were still up there, but I was afraid you'd go up there to it. This is a place where you can come and get your heart filled. And you're just as responsible this morning as the preacher or as the musicians. You're just as responsible. As a matter of fact, you're the main one who's responsible for the upkeep of your own soul. And so this matter of keeping what God's given you, well, your church is a part of that too, along with prayer, Bible study, and sharing with others. The only way to really be a content Christian, a happy Christian, and a peaceful Christian is to maintain and be part of God's that relationship to God. If it starts getting cool and cold, then really it's really difficult to be a happy Christian. You might be a Christian. We've all been here and there. But when we're happier when we're at peace with God. And when we're at peace with others. We're happier in the Lord. We're more blessed. We can get our beam dimmed down. We can let that light get low. One thing that'll do it is anger. Anger is probably one of the most common. You say, well, I have a problem with anger. Well, you're not by yourself. People are dealing with anger. And it can sure ruin your day, can't it? It get in your head and then get in your heart. And there gets to be bitterness there. Many of our batteries don't work too well when their acid is spilling out. And we're bitter. Anger's one of them. You get kind of dim when you quit serving the Lord. If there's a service that God can use you in your life, that's really vital to you as a Christian. It doesn't have to be offered to you. You find a way to serve God. You find something, some way you can let your life serve others. Some of us say, well, the church doesn't need me. That's a lie right out of hell. The church needs every single person that God's brought into the body. I don't know how bicycles are nowadays, but back when I was riding a bicycle, you know, 150 years ago, whenever it was, your spokes would get loose. And sometimes they were like old teeth. They would just fall out. And that bicycle just wouldn't ride good. Before you know it, you know, you got a little hump you're bumping over all the time. We're all like a spoke in that wheel. We all got a role to fulfill. That's the start of a good poem, by the way. Think about that. We're weakened when we're not in our church. And some of us think, well, we don't really have much to give. We may feel like we're injured. We're just not got the gifts. We're not fit. I read a story a long time ago about a 10-year-old boy who decided to study judo despite the fact that he had lost his left arm in a car accident. And he began his lessons, this old Japanese master, you can think about, what was that? Anyway, yeah, Karate Kid, it would be Judo Kid. The boy was doing so well, but he couldn't understand after 3 months of training that the master had only taught him one move. Teacher, he said, shouldn't I be learning some more moves? He said, there's only one move you know. And that's the only one you'll ever need to know, he said. Well, several months later, the teacher took the boy to a tournament and surprised himself that the first two matches he won easily. And the third match was more difficult, but after some time, his opponent got impatient and charged him, and the boy used his one move and he won the match. Now he's in the finals. And he looks across at this guy in the finals, and he's always the biggest, baddest one there, you know. And for a while, the boy appeared to be getting hurt. And the referee called time out, and he was about to stop the match. And the teacher said, no, let it continue, he said. And soon, the match resumed. The opponent made his big mistake. He dropped his guard, and instantly, the boy used his move to pin him. And he won the match in the tournament, and he was the champion. Well, on the way home, he asked the teacher, he said, how did I win this tournament with only one move? And the teacher said this. He said, you won for two reasons. First, you've almost mastered one of the most difficult throws in all of judo. And second, the only known defense for that move is for someone to grab your left arm. His biggest weakness was his biggest strength. And so we wonder, what's in my heart? What can I do for the Lord? Where do I fit in? You got something. You may not feel like much. And I tell you, we're all honest to ourselves. None of us should think too much of ourselves. We need to just use whatever God's given us. We get dim when we seek happiness in something else besides the Lord. If we seek contentment, when we see our true purpose in life, if we seek it somewhere other than in the Lord, our main thing, even our first love, should be first in the Lord. And so if we're looking at it anywhere else, we're searching in all the wrong places. That would make a good song too, by the way. You think about it. Some of us are looking for something in the world to fill a place that's made for God. You know, you're not going to find warmth at the North Pole. It's not going to be there. You find your place first with the Lord, and then this other stuff. So let your faith, what was I on, glow? I better get going too. Let your faith show. If you mess with sin, it's gonna block your spirit. So we need to confess our sin, be honest about it, repent of our sin, and turn to the Lord. Keep that record up to date with the Lord. And let Him teach us how to get control. Let Him forgive us and let Him show us the way. We could add, let your faith flow. Did I mention flow? I didn't even mention flow. I'll just throw it in there. It's a fourth one. Let it flow. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall be witnesses unto me and to all. He basically said all the world. Every part of it. The near and the far. Orange Cove neighborhood, South Africa. That's not even all the way around the world. It's a long ways. On further, right? All the way. Let your faith flow. If it's not flowing, it's all stopped up. It's stagnant, right? You've seen a creek get stopped up and can't run, and downstream, it's all dry. Let it flow. That's a pretty natural thing for a creek. And it's natural for the Spirit of God just to flow in our life. And then we must let it grow. There's no standing still. You know, verse 18 said, Jesus said, take heed therefore how you hear, for whosoever has, to him shall be given. Whoever has not, for him shall be taken, even though that which he seems to have. So if God's given you something, you got to grow in it. You got to let it grow in you. We naturally think about children growing physically, mentally, emotionally, in every kind of way. Teenagers, young adults. Some of us are growing still physically, many other ways. But you know, even the oldest person needs to really sink in on growing. You're never too old to grow. That's a nice slogan. You're never too old to grow. And here's why. Because I'm getting older now. And I'm seeing that there is as many, if not more, challenges coming to us as we get older. Not just physically, but every kind of challenge comes at you the older you get. And if you're not growing, then, buddy, you're falling behind. And as we get older, no matter how old you are, let's just say the next stage where you are, you got to be aware to keep being graceful. Let God's grace really get a grip on your heart. Because you need to be graceful. We are to be full of grace. Well, first of all, you experience it for yourself and you thank Almighty God. He's gracious enough with you. If you're having trouble with others over graciousness in your life, you better think about yourself. And you better realize that of all the people in all the world who's benefited from grace, you have, and you needed to. I'm shutting my eyes because I'm seeing myself. But it's also expected of us as we get older to be gracious. If anybody ought to have it getting it figured out, it should be as we get older. We should learn how to be gracious. Learn how to extend it to others. And some of the biggest blessings I have come from associating with folks who are so thankful and gracious because they're thankful. It's true for churches. The book of Revelation, it said, you have said to one church there, the church of Ephesians, said you've left your first love. That's bad when somebody you love says that to you. You don't love me like you used to. Make a good song. You have left your first love, he said. You have a name that you are alive, but you are dead, he said. He said that in the book of Revelation. There's seven churches. He said that to probably what was the largest church. That was the largest church, probably he was referring to, the church of Ephesus. You have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. I don't like to use that word, dead church. But Jesus can use it anytime he wants to. I don't think we are all that omniscient to know all that. The Lord knows. But here he's telling us numbers don't matter. You got a name to be alive. But there's something dead. You're dead. And he's not talking about their numbers. He's talking about their spirit. Their heart for God. Their love for God. Their service for God. They've lost something. They've fallen back on the Lord. And so he said, repent. Change your ways before I remove your candlestick. Before I remove your candlestick. That fire that's in your heart and in your life as a church. I can take it away. God help us. God help us. But that never happened to our church. Or to our souls. My heart has to be vigilant. I've been a Christian now, I was just thinking a while ago, I don't keep count of those things, but 57 years ago I became a Christian. My heart has to stay vigilant. The Bible says the devil is after you roaring like a lion. He's after you. Whoever you are. It's important for me as a man, as a Christian man, to keep my heart vigilant. And there's failings along the way, I'll tell you. And if the past is any record of it, there'll be failings yet. But it's up to me and the Lord to keep my heart and my light alive as long as I can, as a man. And as a pastor, it's important that I stay vigilant. And I can tell you, sometimes I don't know that I'm on top of the game. But that's just a role as a pastor. As a man and as a pastor. And so it is for us, as wherever we are in our life, husband, father, mother, daughter, grandparent, worker, retired, in school, wherever we are, in our family life, with each other. It's true for every believer. You grow in the Lord or you die to the faith. That's what Jesus is saying. You might think you had it, but you grow or you die. I don't know what he means exactly by all of that. But it sure means we die in our usefulness. We die in our warmth, our connection with the Lord, our relation to the Lord. Those things can die down. Hold on to what Christ gives you. We've got some that's just started out. We've had baptisms. We've got young folks that started out. Hold on to what God gives you and keep to that first love. Follow the Lord. Reminded a story of a little boy that went to the candy store. He went inside and his mother was outside and she waited and she waited and she waited. This child's never going to come out of that store. He finally comes out. She said, "What in the world has taken you so long?" He said, "I only had $1 and I wanted to make sure that I spent it well. We only got one life. Wherever it is right now, that's the one we got. Let's give it to the Lord first and then let's live it gloriously. Let it glow, show, flow, grow, whatever you want to say. Father, thank you for your word. And we just ask God, wherever we are right now, and this is for every one of us, it's a good place to start. Somebody might say, I've been away from the Lord too long, I think. You know what? God's got you still in His mark. He looks for the lost sheep even. He'll pull you on back. You'll call out to Him. Some say, I don't even know if I've ever really accepted Christ. Well, do it today. Call on the Lord while it's today, the Bible says, and you shall be saved. So, Father, we're grateful today to be able to worship you in this place, and this house of prayer. Help us, Lord, to keep what you've given us. If we'll trust you, we know on your side of things, God, you're faithful. Your love springs up eternally like a fountain, it's a never-ending fire that stirs up. And we pray that, God, you will just help us to live a brighter, Lord, a life of more impact on others, but more a warmth with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to sing. We're going to sing hymn number 293. Let's stand together as we sing.
By day his sweet words sound, saying,